Well, praise the Lord. We're having and we'll have a good service today. Amen? Literally anything could happen. Literally anything could happen. Today would be a good day for you to say, today's my day. Yeah. The Lord said to the children of Israel, and further it's repeated in Hebrews, today, if you will not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of promise. Today is the day of entering into the promise. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith has a tangible quality, and I feel it rising in the room here. Praise God. This is good. This is good. This is good. I have it in my heart, leading from the Lord, to turn more and more of our focus toward a common need for people, the realm of healing. So I'm going to talk about that today. But while we're here, anything you need from God, it comes the same way. God respects faith, not people. It's without faith, it's impossible to please Him, right? Anything and everything you need, starting with being born again. For by faith are you saved through grace. So it is a grace and an extension of God. It's something that He provides, but you only obtain it when you exercise faith. So as we talk about healing, anything else you need, you receive the same way. Second, in addition to that, not only is every blessing received the same way and you can cross-apply these things, it is also true that here right in this room, we don't have to go any further than this room, there is need of healing in bodies. And we have promises of the Scripture. For instance, He's the Lord God, our healer, right? So if He is our healer, we should be accessing the healing power of God that is Him. So if it takes faith to please God and everything's obtained by faith, we need to know how to grow faith, how to produce faith. How do you produce faith? Or I'll rephrase it and then you'll know the answer. How does faith come? Scripture clearly tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And then Hebrews 11, now faith is. Faith is always present tense. Yesterday's faith doesn't do anything for you. Tomorrow is not here yet. So faith is always present tense. And if you can't maintain the present tense, you're going to miss something. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So it is a diet of hearing the Word that keeps faith fresh, active, and present now. Jesus Himself bumped into unbelief that needed to be corrected by teaching the Word, teaching the Word, teaching the Word. And you'll find in the ministry of the apostles as well that different times people hearing what the apostle taught, then the apostle would see that they had faith to be healed, right? Not before, but after hearing the teaching and preaching of the Word. So that's why we would continue to do so. And the Bible also speaks of ever-increasing faith. How do you increase faith? By hearing the Word. And remember, the shepherd boy David, who became king, when he faced Goliath, what did he say about that coming battle? He said, I've killed the lion, I've killed the bear. What is this uncircumcised Philistine? So, faith comes by hearing, but faith to increase must meet the lion, then it must meet the bear, then it will meet Goliath. Your life is to be a series of lions and bears and giants. What's that in Wizard of Oz? Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! Right? So faith increases when you meet the lion And you take the word and promise of God and you kill a lion. But once you've killed lions, bears are next. Right? Once you kill bears, giants are next. Right? And you know the life of David, since we're citing him as an example here, that when he was a boy, he met one giant. When he was king, he met many, many more, whole armies, right? One particular thing that I note in David's life, there was a time where he was away on a raid and invaders came and took all their wives and children and all their stuff, and all of his soldiers wanted to kill David because they thought it a blunder militarily that they left their families unprotected. But do you recall some of the things that David said about that? He said, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." When everybody wanted to kill him, he was able to pick himself back up, put his hope in God, and he went out and got all the people back.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. So life is going to have these extremely low points where everybody wants to kill you and you're thinking about letting them do it. God forbid that you also say, "Yeah, I understand what you mean. I'm ready to kill myself. I'm such a jerk." No, put your hope in God.
Amen.
Put your hope in God. And you talk to your soul. Why are you downcast? Oh, why am I downcast? I'll give you a few reasons. And you can think of the reasons why you're downcast. But David stopped himself from thinking that way and says, "No, no, 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 no. Don't you look at what happened. You look at what God has given you."
Amen.
The victory and covenant and promise. Yeah. And if you look at promise instead of problem, yeah, you'll start seeing your way out.
Yeah.
And you will raise up in giant killing power.
Yes.
Also.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So there are folks here in this room facing some things in their physical body. Mm-hmm. And it may feel like a giant. Maybe it is. Maybe it's just a lion and a bear. We're in different places. We've accomplished different things. With Pastor Sandy, I faced some things. We faced some things we never faced before. We looked in the face of death for weeks. And we beat that in God. And now there remains some challenges. Okay. But we're going to defeat them the same way. Amen. So today I want to teach you a little bit about, I've been excited about this for weeks, about unfinished miracles. Well, why would that be exciting? Because all of us have experienced God's power to start, and we're wondering where's the finish. Every miracle of God is intended by God to be finished. He don't start something he can't finish. He don't let us start something that can't. 1 Corinthians, no temptation or test has overtaken you except such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond that which you are able, but with the temptation provides a way of escape. If it comes to you, there is, number one, a way of escape, and number two, God already determined you can do it. So if you're one of these who says things in a moment of trouble, "I can't take it. I can't take it anymore. This is too much," remove that from your vocabulary and never say it again.
Amen.
In fact, there's something you can put in your mouth in its place. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Amen. So we're going to look at unfinished miracles and how to be sure that they become finished miracles. Everyone in this room has experienced unfinished miracles. And if it were, say, for instance, in the area of healing for the body, where the Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, probably to a person in the room here, you have been on both sides of that equation. You've been the one laying on of hands, and that person didn't recover. Or you've been the one who's had hands laid on you, and, well, still waiting on that, right? Is there something wrong with God's promise? They shall recover. No, there's nothing wrong with His promise. There has to be something else. So this is common to us. I know I'm feeding from the Word something that every one of us can use today. And we want to talk about the community out there? Oh, my. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 14 and the 25th verse. To set this up a little bit, Jesus had been ministering, and after a day of ministering, He wanted to spend time alone praying, fellowshipping with God. Jesus Himself needed time with the Father, where the Father would strengthen Him, encourage Him, build Him, reveal to Him what He needed to know on some things. And Jesus told all the disciples, get in the boat, go across to the other side. I'm going to stay on the mountain praying. And they started out in the boat, started across the Sea of Galilee, which is known to have sudden storms rise up, wind and waves. More than once we've seen this in the times of Jesus. They're in the boat and there's all kind of storm, right? So Jesus prays most of the night and then intends to arrive on the other shore with His disciples. And He doesn't have a boat. And they're in the boat. This is just awesome to me. Did Jesus know that He was going to get there by walking on the water? Or did He just know He needed to pray and He wanted to join the disciples? And He starts walking down the mountain and goes, well, no boats. That's not a problem. Right? I don't know if you do this, but boy, I sure do. I read something and I think about it and I go, Lord, I got a few questions. And I learn so much in a process that I call asking the Scriptures questions. So here in the 25th verse, we'll pick it up. It says, now in the fourth watch of the night. This would be between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. Or we might say a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Now keep in mind, most of these disciples were fishermen. They grew up on that water all of their lives. They would be expert boatmen, expert on weather patterns. They did most of their fishing at night. Sea of Galilee is clear. Fish only come up from the depths in the nighttime, generally. So they would be very experienced in bad weather at night in the Sea of Galilee. And yet they see somebody walking on the water and think it's a ghost. I mean, you and me would have a bit of a startle if we saw somebody walking on the water too. Right? And the explanation they come up with is, must be a ghost, or must be a spirit. And so they cried out for fear, and verse 27 says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. How many times is it the Bible, whether it's an angel or an appearance of the Lord, people are immediately startled, and they say, do not be afraid, right? And the Lord will comfort you in everything that comes your way. The first thing the Lord is likely to say to you is, don't be afraid. There's a reason why. When fear comes, so does doubt. There is a danger to walking in fear. Fear leads to doubt, right? And we're going to see that unfold a little bit more. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Think about that for a second. How could it ever come into the mind of Peter that if Jesus walked on the water, that means I can walk on the water? Why would that enter his mind? Peter heard the Lord talk about, whatever I do, you do also. And he had sent them out, cast out devils, deliver, raise the sick, raise the dead, and they had experienced that they would go out and do the same things that Jesus did. So this is in the mind of Peter. If Jesus did it, I can do it. Because Jesus had said so previously. Now, he hadn't said, go out and walk on the water, like he said, heal the sick and raise the dead. So Peter needs to check the specifics. You and I, from time to time, need to know the specifics. We need to know the individual leading of God for us in some variables. And you check with God. God, what do you say here? I've told my story many times about the moment I realized they're trying to tell me at the hospital, the emergency room, that Pastor Sandy was not going to survive. They almost implied she was gone already. And I thought, Lord, what I say next is critically important. And before I spoke, I wanted to check with him. Lord, what do you say about this? And I'll just quickly tell it again. And the Lord said to me, what have I already said?
Amen.
I said, well, you said with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You said by his stripes you were healed and are healed. And repeated some other things. And then the Lord said to me, well, I'm not changing what I said. Are you? So I had my specifics lined up with the Lord, and then I began to say what he said. So here we see Peter says, Lord, if that's you, and if I have this right, that you're walking on the water, I can walk on the water, tell me, come. And here's just a side note. Get the specific confirmation of God's word to you in your situation. We, after we've been around the word for a while, can learn things like, well, it says by his stripes you were healed. And when we're in need of healing, we can just quickly throw that out with not a lot of investment from us to know that we know that we know that we know that that's the promise of God for me right now. And people talk about receiving particular words of God in particular situations. And so when you're faced with something, it's right. God, what is my word that I'm standing on here? And let him tell you, this is the scripture. And there may be more than one, but a lot of times there's predominantly one. We like to call that a rhema word. Rhema being a Greek word, R-H-E-M-A, rhema. And it means a revealed, spoken word. So we're talking about in your situation, God speaks something to you in your heart, and that's it. That's your word. You got it. Illumination, light, faith, power comes with that word. When you say, I got it, I got it, I got it. I heard from heaven. Here's my word. This is what I'm standing on. So I would encourage you, if you ever in a time of need, in this area of healing, finance, anything, but in this area of healing we're talking about today, get God's word on it. What is he saying to you specifically about this? And if you don't know enough, if your vocabulary of scriptures is not large enough, you need to build that. Yeah. Remember, Jesus said concerning the Holy Ghost that he would put you in remembrance of the things he said. The role of the Holy Ghost is not to teach you for the first time a scripture, but to remind you of it when you've already read it. And might already know it. And the more you put in your heart the Word of God, just perhaps in daily reading, and there's no particular thing about that scripture right now, yet he can take a phrase from that and immediately illuminate your spirit with that word, and you know, I see it, I see it, I see it, that's my word. But he can't remind you of what you don't know. So one of the things that I'm encouraging you with is before the need, before you're sick, before you're critically ill, put a reservoir of God's word in you. Our need through the earlier parts of our lives was financial. We did a lot of that. Not so much on the healing, other than general interest and ministering to others. Now it's more specific for us. And I'm continuing to build that reservoir and look again and again. And things I've read before several times, I'm reading again. And I see things I haven't seen before. And they have a greater anointing and greater power for me now. They become rhema words,
yes,
to me.
Yes.
And so predominantly, the Lord spoke to Pastor Sandy and I, Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal.
Amen.
And she received a wound, not an illness or sickness. So it's particular to our need. Mm-hmm. And God will do that. He'll give you the word that has the power to deliver you. So I'm just encouraging you. Peter had this idea from things he already learned from Jesus. Right? So, in verse 29, he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? So let's look at a couple more scriptures and we're going to come back to this. Go to, maybe before we get there, just notice, Jesus said the problem for Peter was doubt. Matthew 17:14, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Immediately you can see in this response, Jesus here is saying, y'all should have been able to take care of this. How long is it going to take before you understand that? He didn't just call them weak faith, little faith. In this occasion, he calls them faithless. So this child that couldn't be cured or healed through the ministry of those disciples, the problem was no faith. 18. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, here's an occasion to note something. Was the child cured immediately, completely, and fully? No. He was cured from that very hour. It started immediately, but it did not finish immediately. Here's something we need to think about. We don't tend to call something miraculous unless it's instantaneous. Is it any less miraculous to happen over time than instantaneous? I understand that there are healing processes designed by God already in our body. And we can always believe God for speedy recoveries, if not instantaneous. In fact, most healing power of God works over some time. Thank God for instant miracles. And they happen from time to time. Most of them are not instant. And as soon as we understand that, it will be easier to continue towards a finished miracle. Remember, we're talking about unfinished miracles today. So while we're here, and there are many others as well, where that power of God ministered by Jesus starts but isn't necessarily finished immediately. And if it happened with Jesus, it's going to happen with us. Right? Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" Now this baffled them. Why couldn't they do it? One of the reasons it baffled them is they had already been casting out spirits and healing the sick. Jesus told them to. They went out and they did it. Why couldn't we on this one? Verse 20, Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief." Well, apparently whatever they faced previously, their faith was built to a point that they could handle this, but this one required something more. They needed their faith to grow. And you can tell that Jesus expected by then they could have grown to this point and handled this. So Jesus says, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Now, when people talk about the faith as a grain of mustard seed, a lot of times I remember a little kid in Sunday school, one of my teachers obtained a mustard seed. I said, "See, just a little seed." And so it often is mentioned here, and it's true, but it's not the only thing that's true, that, you know, if you have faith, just tiny little bit of faith, you can move mountains. But a seed is the potential of a plant. And in another place, Jesus talks about this mustard seed growing into a plant and growing into even a tree where birds can have nests. So faith as a grain of mustard seed is faith that will be planted and grow larger and larger and larger and larger. Don't miss that part of when you understand the mustard seed. Once you receive the seed, nurture it and grow it. So if they would have grown their faith, they would have handled this. And you grow to a point where nothing shall be impossible for you. Amen. Let's quickly go to Mark 4, Mark chapter 4 and verse 36. It says, "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" So we see here that Jesus cites that they had no faith. They should not have feared. And Jesus has demonstrated he wasn't afraid. He found a comfy place, laid down, and went to sleep. Right? You dig around a little more, you find out that what Jesus did before they took off, he said, "Let us go to the other side." So as far as Jesus was concerned, he already spoke, "We're going to the other side," meaning safe, right? And Jesus was able to rest and even sleep because wind, waves, storm, doesn't matter. They're going to the other side. And Jesus, until the disciples were freaking out, wasn't going to bother to say, "Peace be still," to the wind and the waves. Wind and waves just didn't matter to him. Wind and waves didn't affect him. One of the things that happened to us while we were in the hospital is doctors kept coming to us with Pastor Sandy and, you know, "Don't you understand?" And they would try to talk me into something of how bad it was and how impossible it is. And they were upset that I wouldn't agree with them or react the way they were used to people reacting. And I knew I can't afford to fall apart. I can't afford to be crying a bunch of tears. I can't afford to say, "Oh, doctor, isn't there something you can do?" You know, all of that. Because I was going to be, I needed to be unmoved by wind and waves. Amen. So I had to stand. But I refused to acknowledge that stuff. After that whole episode with that doctor, you know, it was very upsetting. I heard the voice of the Lord, and he said to me, "So," in a cheery way, he said that. He said, "So, you saw the wind and the waves?" I said, "Yeah, Lord, I saw." He said to me, "Yeah, and you're in danger of sinking." And I said, "Lord, you saved Peter. Can you save me?" Amen. And he said, "I got you. Amen. I got you. I won't let you go down." Amen. Amen. And he rescued me, and I corrected just like that. Now, I'm not impressed by wind and waves. I don't care what they say. I know what you said, right? So you sleep during wind and waves, and people are around you like, "What's wrong with you? Get a grip on it, dude. Be realistic. Don't you know what's happening?" "Oh, I know. I know. How come you're not freaking out?" "Because I'm choosing to ignore wind and waves. Wind and waves." And here, what the disciples did, first thing that occurs to people, they go to the Lord and say, "Lord, don't you care?" This is what people do. "God, don't you care? God, don't you care?" You go to people around you, go, "Don't you care? Don't you know what I'm going through?" You know, when people are going through things, we believers need to be careful how we speak to them. Because we have to help them not pay attention to wind and waves, but look to God. And we have to be careful and say, "Yeah, you know, this is the worst I've ever seen. You do really have it bad." That's not going to help them. Oh, how many things people say, meaning well, that don't help. And if you've been through some rough spots, you know what I'm talking about. Because sometimes family members or other Christians or church members, even pastors, I can definitely tell you, hospital chaplains come and say some stuff that they shouldn't say. It don't help. If you don't have words that build somebody's faith, shut up. Amen. Don't say nothing. You could say, "I'm with you. And I'll believe to the last moment with you. And I know God says greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. And I'm going to stick with you. We're on this. We're thanking God, praising God together." Was it last week that I said people are praying for Sandy and I'd like to say to them, stop? Yes. Yes. That was last week. Now, I've never really done it and I've been polite, but there are times when people, when they say, "I'm praying for her," what that implies is they're seeking God for him to do something. He's already done it. Yes. What you can do for us, if we are on your list of concerns, is be praising God for the answer. And every thought of Sandy, you can do what I do. You can call her walking, talking Sandy. And I touch her feet, I say, these are walking feet. And I touch her head, and I said, this is a new brain. And I touch her mouth, and I said, this is a talking mouth. I call those things which be not as though they were, or though they are. If you want to help us, praise God and thank God and speak the final result, not the present problem. There is nothing to seek God for. I received that answer 2.5 years ago. So that's how you help us. And I'll do the same for you. Amen. We don't talk the problem, and we're not seeking God for an answer that He's already given. That's insulting to Him, to be honest with you. Let's go on and go back to Matthew 14, 25. So I went to three occasions, and what's common to all three is that little faith or no faith or fear and doubt was common to all of them. Let me just tell you, everything we face in life, fear and doubt and weak faith, little faith, no faith, it's common to all of our experience. Again, Matthew 14, 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." So He said, "Come." One word. One single word. You can do the impossible based on one single word from God. Sometimes we'd like a flourish of words. You'd like somebody to lay hands on you and prophesy over you for the next 20 minutes and just woo, gussy it all up real good, right? A single word. A single word. What do you need from God? A single word. So He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Anybody in here ever walk on water? Peter did. Anybody here understand the physical properties of water? When it's in its liquid state, can you stand on it? Absolutely not. What happens? Law of gravity takes over. Right? Nobody walks on the water. But Peter did. So based on his growing faith, he knew that if he had a word from Jesus, he could do the impossible and he could walk on the water. And he got that one word. And he stepped out of the boat, and Peter walked on water. Now, it'd be interesting to speculate a little bit or think about things that Jesus didn't say. Peter says, "Lord, if that's You, bid me come." I mean, Jesus knew that it was impossible to walk on water too. Jesus didn't say, did not say, "You can't walk on water. Only I, the Son of God, can walk on water." So Jesus took away any notion that only Jesus could do it. If that was true, He should have said so. Further, if it was true, Peter would have stepped out of the boat and went down right at the edge of the boat. He wouldn't have walked at all on the water. So when Jesus tells us in the Word, things that I do, you shall do also, and greater, Jesus is telling us that what He did as a man, walking in faith in the Word of God, and not as the Son of God. Amen. Amen. So Jesus, as an example, walking on the water, Peter understood, and just to confirm, "Lord, You have a word to me that I can also walk on the water? Because I'll come if You bid me come." And He says, "Come." Amen. So we need to grasp this point from this story right now. A genuine miracle of God began when Peter walked on the water. And it began by Peter receiving into his heart one single word. Would anybody dispute that it was miraculous that Peter walked on the water? Would anybody dispute that?
No.
And not any believer in the Bible, right? So nobody disputes. A miracle begins. And we have to think about this a little bit. Jesus confronts Peter after Jesus had to save Peter from falling in the water, from sinking in the water. That reveals to us that Jesus did not expect Peter to sink. And by expect, I'm not speaking so much of his foreknowledge. Did he know that Peter would come out and Peter would get afraid and Peter would sink and he'd have to save him? I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is Jesus recognizing Peter. If you'll receive this word, you'll walk on the water and we will finish. So a very real miracle begins, but it unravels. It starts to fall apart, and it is an unfinished miracle. Now, upon saying that, the Bible is loaded with promises concerning physical healing in our bodies by the power of God. One of the ways is laying on of hands. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Jesus told us in Mark chapter 16, all of us have laid hands on people, and it seems like it started out well, but didn't finish. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I've ministered as a pastor in this room and other places, and I've laid hands on the sick, and I felt the power go into them, and they felt the power go into them, and they went, woo, praise the Lord, maybe even fell to the floor, and that healing miracle started, but may not have finished. And what happens is we don't understand this, and we end up not finishing the miracle, and that thing is still with me, still in my body, and we go, oh, well, I guess it wasn't really the power of God. I guess I was just feeling a lot of emotion or something like that. And I guess God didn't really intend for me to be healed. Or you search and you find something to blame it on, other than you were walking on the water and you began to sink. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not necessarily easy to receive, but the truth provides the answer. Yeah. Amen. Most, if not almost all, healing miracles start instantly. When that word is received, if that word is received, it is started, and people start on the journey of their healing miracle. Most require continuing in faith to finish. And literally in your walk with the Lord and going to church, however many years that might have been, you've seen this potentially hundreds of times already. And sometimes we lack for an explanation. I don't know what happened. They started, you know, it seemed like the power went in them, and it's back. Well, they're unfinished miracles. Who's responsible for seeing to it that it's finished? Well, in Peter's case, Jesus said, Peter, why did you doubt? Let's look at verse 30 again. And I want you to notice in two verses, three words. But when he saw, there's word number one, that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Word number two. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31, Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Word number three. Here's a progression that'll take you off your miracle. Here's what happens. This is the cause of unfinished miracles. See, fear, doubt. See, fear, doubt. See, fear, doubt. When you believe in God to get a certain bill paid, something financially, you know, you need this, and you think maybe you're making some progress, and here comes two or three more bills, or here's something unexpected. Guess what those are? Those are waves. And how many, "Oh, I was just getting ahead, and now this happens." And it takes you out of your miracle. Peter noticed the boisterous waves. Well, Peter didn't get halfway out to Jesus and all of a sudden the waves were boisterous. The waves were boisterous before Peter stepped out of the boat. So there wasn't a change of circumstances. There wasn't a change of natural things. There wasn't even a change of what you could see with the physical eye. What changed was what Peter was looking at with his soul or his spirit. First, he's looking at Jesus and the Word, and while he's walking out there, he starts going, "Ooh, these waves are big." Now, I don't know if you thought about this, but I've wondered, what exactly was that like to walk on the water if they're big waves? Was Jesus and Peter going up and down on the surface of the water, and now you see him, now you don't, you know? That would be, it makes me kind of queasy in my stomach thinking about walking on something like that, right? One of them carnival things, they have a floor that moves around, and you try to walk on that, you know? You walk like a drunk, and gets you all weird and everything, right? So what was that like? But Peter, while he started out ignoring how boisterous the waves were and stepped out because Jesus said, "Come," somewhere in between the boat and Jesus, actually, he's close enough that Jesus reached out and grabbed him. He's right there,
right
by Jesus. He walked on the water. But he started thinking, "What am I doing out here? How did I get here? Everybody knows you can't walk on water. What am I doing?" Your friends will help you. "That's right. What are you doing? What are you thinking, walking on water? Nobody can walk on water. What are you doing?" I can only speculate, but I'm thinking, you know, when Jesus saves Peter and they go back to the boat, which was not the Lord's intention, they go back to the boat. Later, these guys are like around a campfire. "Can you believe Peter? What's he thinking? Nobody can walk on the water. Fool steps out on the water." Maybe one of them said, "But wait a minute, he did walk on the water for a little while." Yeah, but Peter couldn't keep it going. Now, could he? A lot of ridicule. If it didn't happen to them, I know it happens to us. Our families and our peoples and so on, right? What was he thinking? Walk on the water. Come on. So Peter noticed the waves. He saw them. He began to fear. And then doubt entered. Doubt's the opposite of faith. Doubt and faith don't cohabitate. Wherever you are in faith, doubt decreases. When doubt increases, faith decreases. Brother Hagin used to say, you can have doubt in your head, but faith in your heart. And I believe what he was teaching us was this. You can have questions, and you can be mentally aware that, hey, people don't walk on water. I don't know how this is working, but your heart says, yeah, but look, you're on the water. You're doing it. You're doing it. And if the Lord says you can do it, you can do it. I don't know about that. The Lord said you can do it. Do it. And it's a head-heart struggle a little bit there. So just because you have questions and you don't understand doesn't mean that that's a doubt. But when doubt comes from the head into the heart and you go, "Oh, that's right. I don't know what I'm doing out here. Nobody can walk on the water. I know he said come, but it seems like I'm starting to sink." And he did what all of us would do. Oh, Jesus, help me, save me. And what does Jesus do? Reaches down and grabs him, saves him, and takes him back to the boat. Peter stopped walking by faith and started walking by sight. Faith sees the word. Sight sees the circumstances. And Peter proves that faith seeing the word of Jesus is greater than the circumstances. See, this wasn't even a miracle that Jesus did. Because if Jesus was doing this miracle, Peter would have never sank. Peter was out there on water on his own faith, not the faith of Jesus. Because the faith of Jesus wouldn't have failed.
Right.
Well, now, Lord, just do it. God, you're God. You're all powerful. Do it. Take me across the water. It doesn't work like that. He won't. He will give you a word. And you know, when we talk about Peter walking on water, he wasn't walking on water. He was walking on the word. The word supported him, not the water. And when he began to doubt the word, water couldn't do it. I noted when I read it, it says he began to sink. It wasn't, thoom. There's a process where you start feeling it. You can feel it. You know it. And when you call out, God, save me, you're pretty deep in that process already. If Peter would have turned that, no, I'm not going to concern myself with the ways. Jesus said, come. He would have come right back up. Healing miracles often begin in people's lives, but they don't finish. Peter saw, became afraid, and then doubted. We are presented with many boisterous waves. You live life on this earth, you're going to see waves. If it's in the realm of healing, as a for instance, hands are laid on you, the power of God goes into you, you know a work begins in you, you're going to see some waves. What are waves? Waves are, it doesn't seem like it's working. Waves are a setback. Waves are a doctor's report. Well, we found this. Waves are, it's been a long time. It seems like nothing's changing. I don't know if it's ever going to change. Waves are, the body never recovers from this or that. It's a permanent condition. All those kinds of things are waves. They're going to come. They're going to come. And note this about waves, too. It doesn't say Peter saw one great big wave. Saw the waves. Waves are rhythmic. Have you noticed in life? Seems like you just get over one wave and here comes another. And here comes another. And here comes another. And people get tired. And they say, Lord, when this is ever going to stop? I can't take it no more. Lord, just stop these waves. And all along, we're to stand on his word and just ride them up and ride them down and ride them up and ride them down and ride them up and ride them down. Here comes another wave. Well, that just means up and then ride it down. Here's another one, up and down. So Peter sees the waves. We see the waves. And Peter needed to say in his heart over and over again, over and over, because waves, they keep coming. Every wave needs to be answered. Every time something happened with Pastor Sandy that was a complication, an issue, a delay, a chaplain came to tear into us, or the doctor wanted to say things and all, I stopped meeting with the doctors pretty much. And they were perplexed with me. We had some of the best in the world taking care of her and doing things that she needed. You know, some sort of problem developed there where they didn't want to talk to me. I didn't want to talk to them. It just simply was I wasn't having it their way. I had a word of God, and every time they spoke, it seemed like another wave, right? So what Peter needed to do was say in his heart, even say out loud again and again, every wave, Jesus said, come. Next wave, Jesus said, come. Next wave, Jesus said, come. What you do with waves is answer them with that word that he spoke to you, and you answer it every time. While you're working out your miracle, financial, healing, whatever it is, there will be waves, and you answer them, and you speak and remind your heart and say, Jesus said, come. Another wave. Yeah, but Jesus said, come. Another wave. Jesus said, come. The minute your heart says, ooh, that's a big wave, instead of Jesus said, come, you're starting to sink. Way too often, people read waves as indicators of the intentions of the will of God. Well, now, if God was really healing me, there wouldn't be these waves. Says who? Go back to where Jesus said, let us go to the other side. If Jesus really believed they're going to the other side, there wouldn't have been no storm and waves. Says who? If God really intended for Jesus to go across, he will. And we've heard so many people say, just pray that we'll have a smooth trip and a journey, that everything goes well. Well, I'd like that too. But it's not necessarily how it's going to go. And when it doesn't go well, God opened every door ahead of us. No, some doors won't be open, and you're supposed to kick them down. And when it doesn't go smooth, some people, oh, I guess God wasn't helping. I don't know where God was. We ran into this trouble. Jesus ran into trouble everywhere. Well, if it was the will of God that Jesus was Savior of the world and all that, you know, it seemed like it'd go better for Jesus. No, it didn't. Paul, shipwrecked several times, beaten, and, you know, he's got a whole list of what all he went through. Seems like if it was the will of God, God would have made the way smooth and easy. God would have prepared the way, and you know, all of that, and none of this would have happened to Paul. So waves are not an indication to you that you're out of the will of God, or that you misread the intentions of God, or that the power of God is not working. Ooh, this isn't working. We got waves. Oh, it's working. It's working. Waves don't mean nothing. I kind of mentioned this, but if Jesus intended for Peter to stay up on the water, some would say then he would have stayed up on the water. No. What do you suppose the intentions of Jesus were once Peter says, bid me come? We have no indication that Jesus was walking to the boat. He was walking to the other side. Jesus never intended to get in the boat. You explore a little more. It's the fourth watch of the night. It should have been over hours ago, their little trip across the lake. The winds were contrary to them, and they were rowing hard. And for Jesus to wait on shore for hours praying and then catch up to them walking on water and pass them up, he was going to take a short trip across the lake, and they were rowing hard. Was Jesus going to get in the boat and labor with them? No, he's just going to finish walking. So Peter says, Lord, bid me come. He does, steps out on the boat. What were Jesus' intentions at that point? Oh, Peter, you want to walk on the water with me? That'd be fine. We're going to get there a whole lot quicker than them guys. The intentions of the Lord were to have Peter accompany him to the other side, also walking on the water. And if Peter had faith to receive, to ask for the word, receive the word, walk on the water, Peter could complete that journey and get to the other side with Jesus. That was the intention of Jesus. What are the intentions of God concerning your healing, concerning your finances, concerning your need? The intentions of God are that you ask him for a word. He gives you the word. You have the word, and you step out on the water, on the waves, and then no matter what waves come, you're not looking at them. You're repeating, I got the word from God. I got the word from, by his stripes I am healed. Another wave, no matter, I am healed. And his intention is to take you with him all the way to the other shore. Yeah. The intention of God is to start and finish the miracles. Jesus is the author and the finisher. Paul wrote, "He who began a good work in you will complete it." Any miracle he started in your life, if it's unfinished, he intends to finish it. But he needs you with him. Unbelief robbed Peter of the best miracle that God had for him. Now, Peter walked on water. That was miraculous. Cried out, "Lord, save me," and the Lord saved him. But he returned him to the boat because Peter didn't have the faith to continue. Now, I mentioned the intentions of the Lord were that the miracle would finish, the two of them would go. You know what happens in an environment of miracles and in an environment of faith? What should have happened here is Peter gets out of the boat, walks over to Jesus. They give a high five, a hug, or whatever they're doing, you know, greeting. And then look back at the boat and start walking away from the boat. And somebody in that boat figure out, well, if Peter could do that based on the word, you know, be yelling, "Lord, bid me come." And Jesus, would he say, "No, it's just for Peter and me"?
No.
What would he do?
Come.
John, you want to come? Come. And John jumps out of the boat. And now there's three of them walking. Amen. And one by one, they should have, or in group. Have you ever seen somebody receives a miracle and all of a sudden people jump? That's what a faith environment and a miracle environment will do. It will inspire others. It takes a Peter. But what happened instead was Peter began to sink, and all the people that are like, "Should I go too? Should I go too?" And they see Peter thinking, "Oh, I'm glad I didn't go. I'm glad I didn't step out. Fool Peter." One person's faith can lead to the faith of many others. One person's doubt can also lead to the doubt of many others. And if we're going to move with God in a move of God here that's already begun, we better be those ready to hear that word and get out of the boat and let others see you continue to stay up on the water. Not sinking.
Yes.
To listen to some people's testimony, "I stepped out on the water and I was walking for a time, but then I began to sink. And praise Jesus, he saved me. Praise Jesus, he saved me." Well, it's good that Jesus saved you, but you're missing something here. A lot of people's testimonies are how Jesus saved them while they were sinking, when their testimony should be, "I walked all the way with Jesus, and here I am on the other side." Let's stop glorifying the testimony of a failure or a doubt, and let's start looking for the completion and the finish of the miracles. And if your brother or sister is in the middle of the struggle and they're starting to sink and they're calling on the Lord, encourage them. Hey, brother, don't look at those waves. Don't look at that wind. Pay no attention. He said come, and if he said come, you keep walking on that water. You keep going, and if you'll keep going, you will finish this miracle. You're going to get to the point where the fullness is done, and there you are, healed. There you are, delivered. There you are, complete. Nothing missing, nothing broken, and you got it all.
Amen.
Healings and miracles are often and easily received. It's not hard to get a miracle. Not hard at all. But too often that miracle is unfinished because fear and doubt come when one looks at the wind and waves. How can I receive God's best and see my miracles finished?
Now, Peter started. Peter walked on water. Peter was saved by Jesus. That's a good testimony, but it's not the best testimony. That's a work of God, but it's not the best work of God. Peter received part, but not the best. How do you have the best? What's the best for you? The best is for you to be completely made well. Whole, restored. All your bills paid. Moving in prosperity, even to abundance. And when you hear of a need, you meet that need. Because God's blessed you, now you're going to bless others. That's the best works of God. Amen. How do you get there? I'll give you three steps. Number one, be hungry for God's best, not just enough. I heard someone one time years ago talk about how seems like whatever need they had financially and so on, at the last minute, God always comes through, and he's glorifying God with this. At the last minute, God always comes through, and whatever the need was, there it is, just enough money to pay for that need and so on. And the Lord said to my heart, because of his testimony and what he believes, that's how it's always going to be. It'll be at the last minute, and it'll be just enough. Now, that's a stage to come through, and that is a good testimony, but a better one is, God has given me so much abundance that I have excess, and when I hear of needs, I meet needs. It's never just in time. It's never just enough. When God does, he's the God of my cup runs over. Amen. So be hungry for God's best, not just enough, not just part of a miracle. Number two, constantly resist doubt. It's going to come again and again and again and again. You have to answer it. You have to resist it. You have to put it down. And I don't care if it makes no sense in the natural thinking. I don't care how impossible it is. It was impossible for Peter to walk on the water, and he just needed to consistently and constantly resist that doubt. How long would he have to do that? All the way to the other shore. There would have been waves until he stepped on the ground. Lord, how long do I have to do this? All the way? And it can be done. Can be done. And number three, build your faith by constantly hearing the word. Constantly hearing the word. You need faith for the situation today. So hear the word today. And guess what? You're going to need fresh manna tomorrow. You're going to need fresh reminder of the word tomorrow so that you can continue to say, well, he said to me, and I'm going with that, not what the winds and the waves say. So consistently and constantly be hearing the word. And I don't care how accomplished somebody is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The original language is very, very specific. It's present tense and continuous. It's not faith comes by heard. It's faith comes by hearing. So you do those three things, and you'll see your unfinished miracle become a finished miracle. On that note, maybe you can think of a miracle that started in you, but it's unfinished. You can always go back and pick it up. It's not too late. It's not too late. Don't raise your hands, but how many of us have gained an impression, or we know God said that he had a particular thing or a particular blessing or was going to bring you out and bring you into this or that promise, and you have things in your life that are unfulfilled that you're pretty sure God said to you, I have given you this, I've called you to this, and so on. Those are unfinished miracles. Now in Romans it says that his gifts and callings are without repentance. What does that mean? That means God doesn't change his mind. Just because it hasn't happened in 25 years doesn't mean he's changed his mind. You can go pick it up. Now, the Lord's told me in particular, study Abraham. That he's my example in faith on the impossible in body to be possible. Right? And I'm well aware it was 25 years for Abraham. But I've been looking at those things. I don't believe it had to be 25 years. But you got to set your mind, set your heart that even if it's 25 years, I'm not changing from this. I'm not changing from this. Yeah, but it's been 10 years. What does that matter? What does that matter? Well, Pastor Sandy, it's been 2.5 years. So, does that mean anything? It don't mean a thing. So wherever you are, whatever your miracle, whatever God's told you, pick it up today. And don't you dare think, well, I guess it's not going to happen because it hasn't happened so far. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. God hasn't changed his side. And you can pick that up again in faith and go, we are going to finish this thing. Amen. Jesus said, come. Jesus said, come. And how long it's been is just a wave. That's all it is. That's all it is. So I know what I'm going to do. Every wave that comes, I'm going to realize it's just a wave. And I'm going to repeat the word. I'm going to repeat what the Lord says. Amen. So pick up your miracle. Or miracles, probably several, right? Pick it back up. Apply yourself to it again. Don't be impressed with wind and waves. You can ignore them. Go to sleep concerning wind and waves. Amen? Amen. And just answer every wave with the word. What did God say? What did God say? What did God say? And then walk with Jesus all the way to the shore. Hallelujah. Father, we just bless you and thank you. We thank you for unfinished miracles because unfinished miracles can be completed miracles. So we praise you and thank you for your word. And I pray in this house, Father, that every person pick up their unfinished miracle and pursue it again. Walking on the water, doing the impossible, and receiving in fulfillment and fruition all that you have for them. And today we see by the word, they're not done yet. We're not done yet. It's not over. God, you didn't change your mind. What you said back those many days ago, you're still saying today. And so, Father, we just believe, and all over again, we enter into walking with Jesus on these things. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We declare over our finances that they are in abundance, that I sow and I reap. I obey God. I take care of his house. He takes care of my house. Hallelujah. And it's true concerning Renew Church that there's an abundance of finance. It's true in your house as well. Amen. And when financial need comes, guess what it is? It's just a wave. Go back to what he said. He said, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I give and it shall be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. I bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food, meat in his house. And I see that he will open the windows of heaven for me so that there is not even enough room to contain the blessing. That's how you answer waves. Of course, you got to do the giving along with the answering. Can't say I obey the word, bringing the whole tithe in the storehouse if you don't. But nonetheless, praise God. Ushers, go ahead and receive. Glory to God.